Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
Genesis chapter 3, and we'll go ahead and read the first verse, and then we will go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. The title of the message is That Terrible Day. That terrible day, that is the day when man disobeyed God. And so, the first verse of Genesis chapter 3 says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in the service this morning. I do pray now that you would forgive me for my sins. I pray that you would cleanse my mind, my thoughts. I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to preach. And these that are saved to hear, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That terrible day. So, a lot of us have had terrible days in our lives. We've had tragedies that have happened, but there was no day that has affected the whole human race like the day when Adam and Eve ate the fruit that God had told them not to eat, and they fell into sin. And so, that terrible day, the first thing that we see is the temptation. The temptation. Genesis 3:1, the Bible says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now the word subtle means shrewd or crafty. Or sly, tricky. Obviously, this would indicate that the serpent was a very crafty or tricky creature already. He was made that way. Satan chose this creature to use as his vehicle for the temptation of Eve. So Satan chooses the serpent and in some way gets in the serpent and uses the serpent, but the serpent was, with the way the Bible talks about it, the serpent was already a crafty creature. And so the Bible says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now obviously Eve did not find it strange that the serpent was speaking to her. And this may indicate that animals before the fall could talk, at least some of them could talk. There are still animals that can talk. They have to be trained to talk like parrots and so on and so forth. But the serpent was talking to her and Eve is not freaked out by that. She's just carries on a conversation. And he says, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So he kind of brings it up. This is a tricky way to bring it up. He kind of brings it up like maybe a misunderstanding. And so Eve tries to clarify things. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. So she says, We can eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. God had given this command to Adam, Don't eat of this fruit, lest you die. And Adam probably threw in, Don't touch it either. He's trying to keep Eve as far away from it as he can. So Eve would have heard this from Adam. God gave it to Adam. And so she repeats what her husband has told her, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Now, it's interesting that one word makes this a lie. One word. And that word is not. If he had said, ye shall surely die, it would have been the truth. But he says, ye shall not surely die. One word made it a lie. And Adam and Eve did not die physically that day. They started to die physically, but they did die spiritually. They were separated from God the moment that they ate the forbidden fruit. The devil says in verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And it's as if he is saying, it's not me who knows this, it's God. Of course, Eve would believe that God knows everything, so this is a very crafty way to lie. Essentially, the devil is linking their disobedience to secret knowledge that God has but doesn't want to share with them. God knows that in the day you eat thereof, you'll be as God. You'll be like God. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so God is trying to keep you from some secret knowledge that he has. He's got something he's hiding from you, Eve. And if you eat of the fruit of this tree, then you'll be like God. And don't you want to be like God? Wouldn't it be a good thing to be like God? Isn't God unfair for keeping this from you? And so in verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So Eve sees the tree, and she sees that it's good for food and pleasant to the eyes, and it'll make her wise. And so she takes it and eats and gives to her husband with her, and he eats as well. Now, Eve was chosen because she was the easier target. She was the easier target. We know this because 1 Timothy 2, 13 and 14 says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So Adam was the leader. Adam was formed first. He was the leader. A lot of people think that the leadership of man is a symptom of the curse. And there's some of that that is a symptom of the curse, but indeed Adam was first formed, so he was formed as the leader. And even before the curse. And the devil knew that if he went to the leader, that Adam would know what he was trying to do. So he picked Eve because she was the easier target. He knew he would be able to deceive Eve. And so she was deceived. Adam was not deceived. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And whenever the devil tempts us, he always tempts us with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And indeed, when Eve was tempted, she was tempted with these three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The Bible says, when the woman saw. So it starts with the eye gate. Our eyes are like a gate that opens up things that can be good or bad. And so it starts with the eye gate. It starts with her looking. And she saw that it was good for food. That's the lust of the flesh. It was good for food. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. This is the lust of the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. This is the pride of life. So you have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then the Bible says she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So Adam was with Eve and was not deceived, the Bible teaches us. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So one would wonder if Adam was with her, why he let her eat the fruit in the first place. And what likely happened was, is that, later on the Bible says, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. So Adam listened to Eve. It's likely that Adam came up to Eve after the Satan had already tricked her, because if he had been there when Satan was trying to trick her, he would have stopped it. So he couldn't have been there when Satan was trying to trick her, otherwise he would have stopped it. But Adam came up after she was already tricked and she had already gotten the fruit and eaten it. So she had tasted the fruit, and no doubt Eve turned to her husband when he walks up and he says, "What have you done? What has happened here?" And she says, "Well, you told me that God said that we couldn't eat of this lest we die, but I just ate of it and I feel great. This was good. It tastes good. I feel better. I can see things more clearly now. You should eat it." And Adam knows it's wrong. The Bible says that. He's not deceived. He knows it's wrong. And it could be that Adam knows his wife's going to die and he loves her and he doesn't want to lose her. So he decides to take it and eat it as well so that he'll die too. I don't know if that's what happened. Some people think that's what happened. And others think that perhaps that Eve was so persuasive because she is his wife that he just decides to go along with it and do it. That's probably more than likely what happened. At any rate, Eve, as far as she could tell, was not dying. She felt good. She had eaten this fruit and it was good. And so she gives to her husband and he eats. And then, of course, man fell and we come to the fall. The fall. Genesis 3:7, the Bible says, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." So they saw. The eyes of them both were opened. All of a sudden, they had done this thing, and this is the way it works with us as well. Sometimes when we... Oftentimes when we sin, we're not really seeing exactly what's going on. We're kind of focused on doing this sinful thing, and we know it's wrong, but we do it. And then all of a sudden, when you've done it, then all of a sudden you see, oh, I shouldn't have done this. It's like your eyes are open. So the eyes of them both were open. And then they knew that they were naked. Then they made themselves aprons. And so, typically, when we see and know, the next thing we do is we make some kind of thing to cover up what we've done. We make an excuse. We make up a lie. We make something to cover what we've done, which is what they did. They made themselves aprons to cover up their nakedness. And Satan painted a wonderful picture. He said, "Your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God." But in fact, their eyes were opened and they saw that they were naked, felt guilty, and made clothes out of leaves. So it's a big difference between what Satan promised. It's kind of like when you go to a used car lot and the salesman tells you how wonderful this car will be, and then you get home and it breaks down. It's like the Volvo that I bought one time. I went to the lot. My wife didn't want me to buy it. She told me not to buy it, and I told her that I wanted it, and I was going to buy it. So I went to the lot, and the thing was, it had battery cables hooked up to it when I got there, and it had a bad alternator, and it looked horrible, but I just fell in love with the car. I don't know why. And then I drove it home, and it broke down on my way home. And instead of getting rid of it, I poured money into it to fix everything that was wrong with it. And finally, it broke down one winter, and my wife had somebody come with a flatbed and haul it off. But Satan paints this beautiful picture of what it's going to be, and then when they actually get it, then all it is they're naked, they feel guilty, and they make clothes out of leaves. Genesis 3:8 says, "They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." So they heard. They heard the voice of the Lord God. And then they hid. Adam and his wife hid themselves. This is typically what we do when God comes looking for us. We hear the word of God, we hear conviction, then we hide. We don't want the conviction, we want to hide from it. We want to hide from God. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Now, aren't you glad when you hide from God that He keeps looking? He keeps coming. You can't stop Him. And so the Lord God calls unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" So this is like a parent talking to a child. You know how you do, your child does something, and you say, Did you do this? You know they did it. You're trying to get them to admit it, and that's what God does. And then the blame game begins. The blame game begins. Verse 12, "And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." So Adam blames his wife and God for giving him his wife. Ultimately, he blamed God. He said, "The woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit and I ate it." "The Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me and I did eat." So Eve blames the devil. "The devil made me do it." You remember the comedian that used to do that? The devil made me do it. But this is what she did. She blamed the serpent. And now we see the results of the fall. The results of the fall. First of all, there was a curse upon the serpent. Now, this is a curse directed at the devil, but also at the serpent, the animal. So it's on both. "The Lord God said unto the serpent," verse 14, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." And indeed, when Satan was kicked out of heaven, God said, "How art thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Satan tried to exalt himself to the throne of God, and God cast him from heaven. And indeed, this curse on the serpent made it so that the serpent had to crawl on his belly. So it's possible that the serpent could fly or had wings or something like that, but something majestic, and he becomes an animal that crawls on his belly. And then we see also a result of the fall is the proto-evangelium. This is a big word that means the first gospel. This is the first giving of the gospel in the Bible, the first promise of Christ. And Genesis 3:15, which is one of our key verses in the book of Genesis, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So this is a prophecy that the seed of woman, that is the virgin-born Son of God, would one day bruise the head of the serpent. Satan would bruise his heel, but Christ would bruise his head. And so Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, but in that death on the cross, he paid the price for the sins of mankind. He defeated death and he rose from the dead. And so the seed of woman, the virgin-born Son of God, has bruised the head of the serpent. And then we see that there was a curse on the woman. A curse on the woman. Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So it appears before the fall that a woman would have been able to bring forth children without sorrow, which would be pretty nice, I imagine. How many of you have had children? Now, men shouldn't be raising their hands here. how many of you have physically had children? So the women that have had children would raise their hands. All right. Did it hurt? Yes. So that's part of the curse. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So before the fall, yes, Adam was the leader, but Adam and Eve had a dual responsibility of subduing the earth. And ever since the fall in marriage, there has been this conflict where normally, at least the way it goes, is the woman wants her way, and the man wants to lead, and the woman's constantly wanting her way, and that conflict is there. And that's part of the curse. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So this is all part of the curse. Woman was in an exalted state before the fall, and now she really is submissive to men. And where Christianity has come into countries, it's kind of equalized things a little bit more. But you go to a country, like you go to some places in the Middle East where Islam is in charge, and husbands can legally, women are basically cattle. And thank you. And men can legally beat their wives and all these kind of things. And so Christianity and the Bible, indeed, even Jewish laws, stopped a lot of that in areas where God's law was in charge, but that kind of stuff takes place. And so this didn't happen before the curse, but it happened after the fall of man. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And then there was the curse on the man. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Now, most of the time we say we should listen to our wives, but there are times when you shouldn't listen to your wife. If your wife tells you to do something that's unscriptural, you shouldn't listen to her. So in this case, Adam knew it was wrong, and he should not have listened to his wife. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So Adam blamed his wife and God, but God blamed Adam because he shouldn't have listened to Eve. And he says at the bottom part of the verse, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And so, in a way, this cursing of the ground Because before that, Adam worked, but the work was not hard. But after the ground is cursed, then the work becomes hard. And in a way, this is a mercy. God says, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Because with the ground being cursed and work becoming hard, hard work takes a man's mind off of troubles and thus off of death, which was the curse. And so the ground is cursed and work becomes hard, but that's for Adam's sake and for our sake. It takes our mind off of things. One of the best things that I did when the company collapsed during the recession that belonged to my father and then that I was running, when it collapsed during the recession, one of the best things that I did, because I had all kinds of bad things going on, and the way that I dealt with it was by getting a job at the youth detention center and working maintenance, which was not very much fun. I hate mowing grass. And so I mowed grass and weed-eated and did physical labor, did silly things like move stones. They wanted to move. They had a bunch of stones. They wanted to move to the back of the fence. So I moved them all, and then they decided several months later they want all the stones put back. This is your government at work. So we moved the stones and put them back, and then I had to glue the stones together. That was fun. Didn't work, but it was the brainchild of somebody there, and they decided we'd glue the stones. Anyway, but it took my mind off of my troubles. You don't think about things when you're doing physical labor. And so cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. So the curse on Adam is hard work and death. Death. And the hard work takes your mind off the death. Now we see also that Eve was named. I assume Eve would have been named anyway, but we see this after the fall. So Eve is named. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Schofield says that the name Eve equals living or life giver. That's the idea. She is the life giver. So Eve. And then the first blood is shed. The first blood is shed. Verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. So this must have been a horrible scene. God takes animals and kills them and sheds their blood and makes coats of skin. And Adam and Eve had never seen bloodshed, but God told them that death would come when they ate the fruit of the tree. And indeed, He shows them death. He kills these animals and makes them coats of skins. Also, this is a picture of our salvation, because Adam and Eve had made themselves aprons or clothing out of fig leaves, and God says, your fig leaves, what you make, is not good enough. I'm going to sacrifice something, shed its blood, and clothe you myself. And so that's what God does. Our fig leaf religion and righteousness is not good enough to cover us. We need the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there is no remission or forgiveness. And so Jesus Christ had to shed His blood and die for our sins. And God clothes us when we believe in Him and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And then we see that man is kicked out of Eden. Man is kicked out of Eden. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat, and live forever. So God says man's become as one of us to know good and evil. And Satan had promised this like it was a good thing to be like God and know good and evil. But indeed, it brought misery and sorrow. God did not want man to know good and evil. He wanted man to be protected. And yet, Satan said, oh, God's trying to keep you from this wonderful thing of being like God, knowing good and evil. And then when man was able to know good and evil, it brought misery and sorrow. Ecclesiastes 1:18, Solomon said, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. Genesis 3:22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. And that would be live forever in the state of dying and being under the curse of sin, which would be a terrible thing. Wouldn't you hate to live forever like this? Constantly having troubles, sicknesses, problems, constantly dying but never dying, never able to die, live forever. And that's what would have happened if had they eaten of the tree of life. God did not forbid them to eat of the tree of life before the fall. But after the fall, He did not want them to eat of the tree of life because if they had, they would have been stuck forever in this dying and being under the curse of sin. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, which are angels, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so the tree of life is put under guard. God does not destroy the Garden of Eden or the Tree of Life. It was still there. It's not there anymore. But it was still there at that time. And so God protected it and guarded it with the cherubims and the flaming sword. So paradise was lost that day. Ah, the beautiful paradise where man could walk with God in sinlessness was lost with the fall of Adam. But paradise will be regained in the end. Revelation 21, 1 through 3, the Bible says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And so God intends in the end, at the end of time, he intends to make the earth over like the Garden of Eden and to once again dwell with man. And to do that, God has saved us, and He's going to glorify us. He's going to bring us to a state after we die and go to heaven, and ultimately at the resurrection of the dead, He'll bring us to a state of sinless perfection in body and spirit, where we do not sin, where we can't die, and we will be recreated like the original people that God had, except without the ability to sin, and because the fall will never happen again, and God will, we will walk with God in this new earth one day. And so God intends to set things right again. And that's a wonderful thing and a beautiful thing. And so the most terrible day, that terrible day when man fell, actually became a day not only of a curse, but it also became a day of the promise of a Savior. And it became a day of an example of the sacrifice, shedding of blood, in order to clothe Adam and Eve. And so even though it was a terrible day where they fell and they were kicked out of the garden and a curse came upon man and woman, and yet it was a great day because the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, was promised. And so, sometimes the most terrible thing in your life, the most terrible day, God can take that and turn it into a day of salvation and into a day of mercy. And that's what He did in the Garden of Eden. And so, in your own life, look to that terrible day, but also look to that day of redemption and see Jesus Christ as the one who has saved us and delivered us and will deliver us ultimately from the curse of sin and death. And praise the Lord for that. And so, as we look to Jesus Christ this week, whatever you face this week, whatever terrible thing or bad thing you may go through, you can look for salvation and hope in Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these Thy people. I thank You for the work You're doing in this place. I thank You that on that terrible day You promised redemption, You promised salvation. And I do thank You that ultimately we will walk with You once again, not only in heaven, but in a new earth that is made over like the Garden of Eden. We will walk with You the way You always intended, the way You first intended. And we thank You for that. And we do pray now that if there's anyone here that doesn't know You as Savior, that You would forgive them and save their souls. And have mercy on us and help us to do Thy will. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand and we will sing.